From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm Jenna Gibson. This week, we have a guest host who will be talking to Randall Jones, head of the Japan-Korea desk at the OECD in Paris, who is here at KEI this week to talk about the 2016 Economic Survey of Korea and how Korea's economic situation looks going forward. Troy Stangerone, KEI's Senior Director for Congressional Affairs and Trade, sat down with Randall while he was here in D.C. to discuss the report and look ahead to some of the ways that Korea can improve its economic growth in the future. Please enjoy.
Hi. This week on Korean Context, we have Randall Jones from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in Paris with us. This year marks the 20th anniversary of Korea joining the OECD. How has Korea changed in the last two decades?
Well, Korea joined the OECD just the year before the East Asian crisis hit Korea. Korea was vulnerable to this crisis because of weaknesses in its economy, particularly in the corporate sector, the financial sector, the labor market. So following the crisis and being a member of the OECD, we worked very hard during the past 20 years to try to improve policies in these areas, the corporate sector, financial, labor, education across the board. But Korea has changed in many good ways in the last 20 years, and that's reflected in the fact that it's maintained a relatively high growth compared to many other OECD countries. And it also was able to overcome the 2008 crisis relatively quickly and without much of a drop-off in economic growth.
Well, at the same time, one would hope that in an organization like the OECD, that Korea would be contributing to that as well and to broader global economic policies. So in Korea's time in the OECD, how has it contributed?
Well, Korea is one of our most dynamic countries. It's a country that has been growing very rapidly thanks to strong exports, strong R&D. And so for other countries, Korea is an example of many excellent characteristics. For example, education. Korea is always number one or number two in the OECD PISA test, which compares 15-year-olds around the world. Korea is number one in R&D spending. Korea is outstanding in launching green growth programs back in 2009, which were followed by many other OECD countries. So it's really been a two-way street where we have assisted Korea in improving its economic policy. At the same time, they've made a major input in showing OECD countries new ways of doing things as well.
One of the issues that's come up for the Korean economy is that it's entering into a period of lower potential economic growth. Why is this the case?
Well, Korea was growing for the decade from 91 to 2001, about 6.3%. From the decade 2001 to 2011, it was down to 4.3%. Now, during the past 5 years, it's down to 2.8%. So partly this is success. As a country gets richer and closer to the leading countries, its growth rate tends to converge to a slower rate. So that's a common phenomena across the world. At the same time, there's a problem of international trade, which has been relatively weak since 2011. And this reflects partly China slowing down. It affects a number of factors, but it's been very negative for Korea because exports account for more than half of Korea's GDP. So Korea has faced this more difficult international environment, and at the same time, it's faced ingrowing competition from emerging market economies such as China and other Asian countries. So it's partly Korea's success, partly a worse international environment, and finally, problems in the Korean economy with the problems in the SMEs, the service sector, the problems that we discuss quite frequently.
So if Korea is converging with more advanced economies and also faces challenges due to slowdown in global trade, are there steps that the Korean government can take to improve growth in this environment?
Well, Korea has great scope for increasing productivity. The level of output per hour worked is only about 55%. Of the top half, the top 17 OECD countries. So Korea, with its top level of education, high level of R&D, and its human talent, Korea should be able to narrow the gap with the leading OECD countries. This calls into question, how do we mobilize the great talent and great capabilities to further economic growth? And there we basically need a new growth model. The traditional model of large Chaebol-affiliated companies exporting is starting to lose steam. And we need a new model based on entrepreneurship and more service sector productivity that relies on a creative economy. In effect, that is President Park Geun-hye's objective, is to create a more creative economy that will drive growth further. So we're seeing some progress, but it requires many reforms to change from one traditional model towards this more entrepreneurial, venture capital, technology-based economy.
Well, speaking of the creative economy, which has been one of President Park Geun-hye's economic policies, Bloomberg, for the last couple of years, has ranked Korea as the most innovative economy in the world. You know, is this actually the case, or is there a reason why Park Geun-hye is putting so much emphasis in this, and so is there a disconnect with the Bloomberg survey?
I think in terms of the level of technology, Korea certainly ranks very high. The problem is entrepreneurship. And in Korea, it's not so easy to start a company because there are not many business angels and venture capital. It relies on bank financing, which is risky, requires collateral in many cases. And it's not easy for people who fail once to get a second chance. So we have to make an economy where, that favors entrepreneurship, favors firm creation and dynamism, and overcomes some of the barriers that limit the creation of new companies. So we're calling for a new framework to put into practice all this technology that is waiting to be used.
One other thing on innovation. In the new OECD survey, you note that only 0.7% of research and development was financed abroad, and internationally, co-authorship and co-patenting are among the lowest in the OECD for Korea. How does this impact Korea's ability to innovate?
Well, increasingly, innovation takes place at a global level. There's international innovation chains, one might say, and Korea being isolated does not get to take advantage of that international innovation network. It's much less risky and less costly to cooperate with other countries than to try to do everything yourself. And this lack of integration is not only internationally, it also occurs domestically because the business sector basically finances almost all of its R&D on its own and performs it. It doesn't draw on the university sector or the government research institutes. So in a sense, we have three silos. We have the universities doing some research. We have the business sector doing 75% of it, and the government doing some. There's not a lot of cross-fertilization between these three different sectors of innovation. So we really need to make a dynamic innovation sector drawing from abroad and integrating the domestic innovation. This also requires more foreign direct investment. Korea has very low FDI stocks in Korea. It's the third lowest. So we need to open up and bring more FDI into Korea, and that will also bring more innovation and R&D and global innovation networks.
One persistent economic problem that Korea has had is youth unemployment. Youth unemployment recently reached a record high at 12.5% earlier this year. How does this problem impact Korea's long-term growth potential, and what steps can Korea take to address it?
Well, the 12% actually seems quite low if you compare it to Spain, 25%, or some European countries. But it is a serious issue, as you say. The employment rate of the youth from 15 to 34 is only 41%, which is the sixth lowest. And it's been trending down in recent years. For us, from my perspective, this is a problem of labor mismatch, where we have 71% of high school graduates going to tertiary education and then not being able to find jobs that match the education that they receive. So we have a large number of youth who are called NEETs, neither in employment, education, or training. So basically they're inactive. I think about 25% of university graduates are inactive. So we need the education system to train people for the jobs that exist today. And if you look at the SME sector, the small and medium-sized enterprises, they have labor shortages, and they wait in line trying to bring in foreign labor. So if we could train change the education system to provide the training necessary for the jobs that exist, then we would resolve this mismatch problem. It's very serious because youth are not really getting into the labor market till 25, 26, 27, and then they're pushed out before 60. So the working life in Korea is relatively short, sometimes only 30 years. And given that pensions depend on how long you work, that leaves the problem of old age poverty as well. So we really need to make the education system more appropriate for what the companies need. Now, if the government's making progress, we have Meister schools that are quite well known. I think there's 35 or so and more coming. And these schools combine education with training in companies. And the youth who graduate from Meister schools, more than 90%, go directly into good jobs. A more recent innovation is these work-study dual programs. And then we also have this the National Competency Standards, 887 standards by job category, by industry. So it says what you need to know to be a welder in certain sector. So this will provide a base for upgrading vocational education to make it pertinent and relevant for what companies actually need today.
Speaking of the labor market, one other issue that often comes up in the case of Korea is this dual labor market between regular and non-regular workers. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on here and what can be done to address this problem?
As you say, this is one of the most serious problems because it undermines social equality in Korea. The regular workers, who are two-thirds of employment, enjoy long-term employment. They enjoy high wages and high protection from social insurance. The non-regular workers, who are primarily a fixed-term contract or dispatch workers or part-time, have high labor turnover, precariousness, we say. They have low wages, and they have little coverage from social insurance. So when kids come out of school, they have similar attributes. One might get a regular job and have 30 years in a major company at high wage. The other might become a non-regular worker and spend his career jumping around at low wages. This is bad for growth because the low-wage workers do not accumulate human capital because companies do not invest in a temporary worker. It doesn't make sense to put money into someone who will leave shortly after. So the gap in wages is about 36% per hour of work. Non-regular workers make 64% as much as regular workers. So that creates great inequality. Korea has one of the most unequal distributions of wages in the OECD. And the relative poverty rate, which is a share of the population below one-half of median income, is the seventh highest in the OECD. So we have a serious problem of inequality and poverty related to this labor market dualism. Now, solving the problem is not easy. We've had this problem for almost two decades now. Basically, companies hire non-regular workers because they want flexibility. In an integrated world economy, when demand goes down, companies want to reduce their workforce so as to remain competitive and profitable. But if they have regular workers, it's very hard to dismiss them, which means they're stuck with unnecessary labor and they can suffer high losses. So the companies want flexibility, and we have to find a way of providing flexibility without having a dualistic market divided between non-regular and regular. And to be honest, that requires that regular workers have less employment protection, that they lose some of the privileges that they now have, and that would make a more equal society. And it also means that social safety net has to be stronger to help with the people who do lose their jobs. So this is a very complex problem, but it really is the core of the inequality problem in Korea.
One other sort of core challenge Korea has faced is it has an extremely productive manufacturing sector, but historically the level of productivity in the services sector has been relatively low. And your report notes that this is still the case. When Korea negotiated both the CORES FTA and the FTA with the EU, one of the goals was to inject competition into the services sector to try and help address this. Have we seen any progress there?
So far, it's too early to find much progress in that regard. I think the key problem, even more than the foreign investment, is domestic regulation. Korea has four times as many regulations on services as they have in manufacturing. It also has more regulations on entrepreneurship, which limits the entry of new service companies. The service sector is basically synonymous with the SME sector because 90% of SMEs are in the service sector. So we need to reduce regulation to make services more productive, and we need to change SME policy so that the SME sector becomes more productive. Now, in Korea, SMEs are very highly protected, a high level of credit guarantees, a number of government subsidy programs. And one of the problems is that SMEs don't want to grow up into larger companies because they would lose the very generous benefits they receive from being a small company. So we need to have a dynamic economy where the successful startups grow and get more economies of scale and become exporters. Now only 6% of SMEs export. We want to see small firms that are successful grow and become larger, efficient companies exporting. And we want the inefficient, poorly managed SMEs to downsize or to exit the market and make space for the more innovative and successful SMEs. So it requires changing SME policy and reducing regulatory burdens on the service sector.
Well, you had mentioned that a lot of the SMEs, because of the changes in regulations and benefits, don't necessarily want to grow. So from a broader perspective then, how does Korea, because we all know about the famous Chaebol, Samsung, LG, and otherwise, but how does Korea do then in terms of growing firms from small to medium to large?
One statistic that is really striking is that companies that were small in 2003, I think only 0.01% grew into large companies over a decade. So that shows that small companies have trouble getting financing and also have the weak incentives I mentioned to try to get larger. So one aspect is Korea needs to shift from a bank-centered finance system more towards the equity, a capital market-based financial system. And that would help smaller companies to attract investment and grow without the trouble of trying to attract the bank financing.
Well, I have one last question. We have the new OECD Economic Survey out now, and going forward, over the next two, you know, maybe even 5 years, how do you see Korea's economy performing?
Well, I think President Park Geun-hye has tried to do many important reforms. Regulatory reform has been a major initiative. You may have heard of the thorn under the nail initiative or the regulatory guillotine, trying to chop off and reduce unnecessary regulation that reduce growth. The problem is trying to put these into place and overcome the political inertia that in every country tends to slow reform. So if Korea can move ahead with these reforms and try to become a more dynamic economy with less regulation and more focus on innovation and entrepreneurship, it should be able to raise its growth and productivity. The potential growth of Korea is down to about 3% per year is our estimate. Back in the 1990s, its potential was around 9%. So it's come down sharply, partly because of demographics with a slower labor force growth and partly less productivity. So we need to both encourage more productivity growth to narrow this gap I talked about, this 45% gap. We also need to promote employment, and that requires focusing on three groups, focusing on women who are still underrepresented in the labor force, focusing on the youth, as we talked about, who are not very much engaged till later, and focusing on older workers who, on average, tend to leave companies at about 53 because they become expensive. So we need to make better use of Korea's human resources, particularly the women, youth, and older workers. So if we combine more employment with better productivity, Korea should be able to grow a bit faster than the 2.8% during the past 5 years. President Park Geun-hye at one point said, we have to break out of this low growth trap and set a target of 4% for productivity growth. That would be challenging, but we need to move in that direction of raising Korea's potential and its productivity growth.
Well, thank you for joining us on Korean Context.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Korean Context. As always, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And remember that you can always go back and listen to our previous episodes at keia.podbean.com. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.